Hi, this is Belasco. This edition of the podcast is going to be very different because there happens to be some interesting things happening in the Phil Hendry community. So we're going to be discussing some of those happenings with the owner and operator of NewPhilHendryShow.com and talking about some of the parallels between what happened with Sweet Feathery Jesus's interactions with Phil Hendry and what they're going through now. We'll be back with our typical podcast later this week. Expressed on the Sweet Feathery Jesus podcast are those of the participants only, and not necessarily those of SweetFeatheryJesus.com, .net, .org, or any of its subsidiaries. Sweet Feathery Jesus, or SFJ for short, assumes no liability for injuries resulting in listening to the Sweet Feathery Jesus podcast. All listeners do so at their own risk. Discontinue listening if any of the following occurs: dizziness, itching, uncontrollable crying, burns, bruises, cuts, scrapes, lesions, warts, leprosy, oozing pus, anal or genital discharge, vanilla snow, herpes, blindness, retardedness, blind retardedness, sexual attraction to diapers, hydrocephalus, compulsion to stockpile mustard, bleeding from the eye sockets, or AIDS. Please enjoy the show. As a guest tonight, we have somebody who is probably known to most of the people at Sweet Feathery Jesus. Any new listeners who have no idea what Sweet Feathery Jesus is will be a little confused, but we'll give a brief summation here. But SFJ members know him as Olive Garden Cowboy. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me. And I also do the NewPhilHendryShow.com website, and you can check that up if Phil isn't successfully able to shut it down.
And that leads into what we want to talk about. Since we are on iTunes and new people will probably be finding us, this may end up being their first podcast. And just for that, I'll sum up. Sweet Feathery Jesus was started as a fan site for a talk radio host by the name of Phil Hendry. Hendry's show was interesting in that it was kind of a satire of talk radio, in which he'd have guests on with just outrageous opinions and ideas and really weird scenarios, and people would call in to complain and yell at them without realizing that was actually Phil Hendry doing a voice into a phone as the fake guest. And it's real theater of the mind stuff. It's extremely funny. It was definitely one of the funniest and most innovative shows I had ever heard of until he retired in 2006. And that was right around the time that Sweet Feathery Jesus had got started. So while he was on the air, he also retired, and Sweet Feathery Jesus suddenly found itself without someone to be a fan of. And there have been a lot of misconceptions since then, and we're not going to go into them there, but for some reason a lot of people got the idea that we were a hate site, and we're not really a hate site. At one point we didn't discuss Hendry at all just because he flipped us all off, because apparently he thought we were a hate site. But it was never the policy of the site as a whole to say, you know, he sucks. We've always respected the show as it was, and always considered him a huge talent. But we do have problems with the man, and that's some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight.
You could have me a guest on this podcast for the next 6 weeks, and we could talk about it for 3 hours, and we could never cover all the weird things about what this man thinks about the people who listen to his show.
For some reason, this misconception came up with SFJ that, oh, SF, they're all crying over spilled milk because Phil retired. That was never the reason people were upset. One of the first things that got people upset was the fact that he was retiring. He was promoting the hell out of teachers, and it just plain sucked. And people were like, he's retiring for this? And he's like, no, keep subscribing. Keep your backstage pass. There's going to be all kinds of new and exciting stuff coming, and you're going to get all the archives, and you're going to get
which
this
we sent him.
Yes, we sent them. A lot of members of SFJ sent him that material that he said he was going to archive.
I personally sent cataloged DVDs by year of everything I'd ever gotten from other members and retard traffic and stuff. Sent to the show for him to fill out the backstage pass. They never, to date, as far as I know, I'm not still a backstage pass holder, but I don't think they ever got posted.
I understand his frustration with people that may try to tell him what he has to do with his career. You should be doing character hours all the time. Nobody has a right to do that. It's his show. It's his life. But when you make
or they
promises,
have the right to say it, but he doesn't have to listen.
Exactly. But when you have paying customers and you're promising them content and don't deliver, they're bound to get a little upset.
I had a backstage pass for a year. I guess it must have been in 2006 after he went off the air.
Mm-hmm.
you know, or that year for 6 months before, 6 months after. And I had all the stuff. Anyway, I've got more stuff than there is on the site, just like you guys.
From that, somehow Phil got it in mind. We have theories as to why. We're not going to go into it. Oh, SFJ is a hate site. No, we're not a hate site, but it was just getting really frustrating not getting content that was promised and still having to pay month to month or year to year, however you were paying.
Well, so, the problem was, I think the problem was that you can't, as Justin will know now, because I think a lot worse things have been said about Phil on your site, Justin, than were said about Phil at the time on ours.
Oh, probably.
You can't, you know, you can't legislate for that. We didn't really censor people unless they really got out of hand.
Yeah.
You know, it's the internet.
And yeah. I made the decision very early on that I was going to try to maybe guide the discussion towards discussing the show, but I was never going to censor or get rid of people for being negative, because that's what a fan site is.
Exactly.
I happen to be a fan. I'm a fan in general. Like, I kind of describe myself as a fan. I'm passionate about Phil Hendry's show. I'm passionate about all kinds of films and music acts and everything else. And that's what fan sites are always about. The most passionate fans are going to be negative sometimes because they care about it so much.
If you want a site where there is no negative comment on Phil Hendry, you can sign up for your backstage pass and go and talk about it on the forums on there.
And even there, he's surprisingly letting most of that stay. It was funny. One night when he posted the first time saying something about bootleggers, and he was very... he didn't really mention which site he was talking about. It got 80 comments, and it was mostly negative. Mm-hmm. And I heard Phil actually on the pre-show saying, oh, have you deleted that thing yet? Have you deleted this? And then they didn't do it. So they either didn't really understand how to go in and delete it, or they just made the decision that, hey, like maybe one of his business partners said, hey, you can't charge people money and then delete what they're saying because you don't like it. And since then, I've never noticed anything being removed, but I also don't spend much time viewing.
It was probably the former, I would guess. They didn't know how to do it.
We want to talk to you about your dealings with Phil, and primarily the most recent ordeal that's been going on between you and Phil. And I know that this kind of goes back where...
I know you don't want to go too far back in the past, and your show, you can do whatever you want. Don't do that on my behalf. I'm willing to go back as far as anybody wants to try to understand
where
this came from. Because the situation now with Phil... He's making it out to be it about the podcast, but it's really about more than that. And the two situations are completely paralleled. And I know that there's people out there who believe certain things about the way I feel about Sweet Feathery Jesus or how I handled it back then, and they're completely untrue. So I'm willing to clear those up. But
why don't you go back to that? I don't think we mind.
Yeah, I would be interested in hearing it.
So for instance, so if people don't know it all, There was back and forth, and there was complaining by Phil, but the kind of big moment was when he posted on a blog a big middle finger and basically said, F, Sweet Feathery Jesus. And he went further than that, far as I was concerned, basically said, F my fans, like pretty much.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
And then that started everything. It started on Sweet Feathery Jesus. There were people on both sides. There's always going to be those people who were defending Phil or not defending, and then there was people who were really, really pissed off. My feeling at the time... My feeling still today and my feeling about the way he's handling it now is I disagreed with what Phil did. I was simply – my whole feeling on it was Phil was inappropriate to flash the finger because you don't paint everybody with the same brush. He was saying basically that he was upset not because of the negativity of the backstage pass and all these things, but that somebody trash-talked his family or his wife or something like
that.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
The real hardcore Sweet Feathery Jesus people were 1,000% adamant that nobody ever had even mentioned his wife.
No, I don't think that was.
Is that not? I'm guilty of what Phil said. There were members who were insistent that his wife was never mentioned. All I said was.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Well,
okay, go ahead.
Personally,
what it is, maybe not never mentioned, but it would have been so minor and insignificant. I think the person that mentioned his wife the most was Phil. When he talks about his wife did the voices,
exactly.
When he was complaining about that.
I think from my memory, we had a lot of members on the site at that time, and it was, you know, because we got the middle finger, that was it. It was the Wild West in there. Everyone was going for broke.
It was a moderating nightmare.
Exactly. You can't legislate for that. So if someone saw it, because I'm pretty sure, yeah, of course, you've got that many people, someone's going to step out of line. You know, if someone saw it, and But then what happened after that was, I'm pretty certain that Hendry didn't see that instance of it. What happened was, a disgruntled member who later got banned went to Hendry, because it was a long time afterwards, and said, hey, did you hear what they said on SFJ about your missus, blah, 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 and then comes the middle finger. And
I
like
believe
you say,
that
100%. Justin, everyone gets tarred with the same brush.
As much as the backstage pass, even to this day, is disappointing, I still think it has value at $6.95. I think it's a great way for a fan to say, hey, thanks, Phil, I appreciate your stuff. It's not a lot of money to do that. And I've always been a pretty big backer of his site, despite all the problems with it. When he went off the air and then basically stopped updating the website, he wasn't even doing any of his football stuff or anything. There was just kind of, it was like the Phil Hendry world just kind of died. Like he wasn't doing anything. And I got this idea to do a podcast that would say, hey, today's the podcast for July 10th. Here's what happened on July 10th. Through the years. And I would play, say, 30-second to 2-minute clips of most of the highlights or the big character bits. And I knew even then that would probably be perfectly legal. That would be fair use. It would be these small clips and it wouldn't bother anyone. So my idea was, okay, my first step is going to be to ask Phil. My second step will just to be try it and see what happens and go from there. Very early on, it was announced that TRN was going to pick up this new show. They were already being cool about the radio. Like, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but it was just a small little thing. No one was even real listening. I wasn't updating it all the time. I was kind of experimenting. Then when they kind of gave me permission to do the radio show, it was actually a TRN person that gave me Phil's direct email and said, we're cool with it. I can't see how Phil wouldn't like some clips going on. And Phil said, yeah, go for it. And that's literally how he emails people. Like, I send him this big long-winded thing about why I think it's a good idea and can I do it? And yeah, go for it was the response. So I went for it. And then I heard a little bit after that from his producer at the time kind of saying, hey, what's going on? How's that working? They seemed kind of interested in it in the sense that, hey, this could promote the show. So I then decided, okay, well, now this has changed a little bit. If I have permission and my new goal with this is – to actually promote the show, then it makes a lot more sense to play a full bit. The show is entertaining, and if you're already a fan, being reminded of a 2-minute clip is okay, but you kind of got to hear a bit in its whole to get it. I never even liked the flashback segment on his show because he just pulled this one line and it never made sense. So I thought, this is going to be good. So then again, because I had permission, but it was this tenuous kind of thing, I thought, well, here's how I prove I'm not stepping on his toes. I will play audio that he doesn't make available and then end every single podcast saying, hey, this is an example of what this guy does to get a huge archive of these kind of clips and full shows. Check out his website. So then it just kept growing after growing. And then it became this thing where it was always in the top 10 or 20 on iTunes, comedy, podcasting's got more popular since. So it's dropped down, but it still gets a ton of downloads and is a popular podcast. And then,
And you pay for the bandwidth for that, right?
I pay for the bandwidth for the website, but I no longer pay for the bandwidth on the files because they're hosted on a free website that hosts podcasts for free. So that's where that stands right now. So like I said, so then it was going along and I would either hear nothing or just kind of hear these positive things. I had limited contact with Phil and his people. Then Phil emailed me in July of last year, July 2009, and said, hey, dude, I know myself and TRN kind of gave you permission to be posting the radio show, but I'm now making it a part of the backstage pass, and I'd like you to stop posting the radio show and stop updating the iTunes feed. And anybody can go on iTunes right now and see that it stopped the exact date, July 19th, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Again, that night, listen to him. That seemed fair to me. You're going to make the show available now. My work here is done. Cool. That we're done. Then I hear back from – I don't hear anything from Phil. No contact. And I hear back from him last October. And I get an email on Facebook saying, dude, I really appreciate everything you've done, blah, blah, blah. But I really got to start thinking about what I'm doing because I'm kicking into a new gear of philhendryshow.com and I'm reinventing the site and I want to be careful where my material is and all this stuff. And I said, oh, cool, I understand. And then that's when I explained again what I do. I said, the Phil Hendry Show flashback is a short clip, not a short clip, but like a 20-minute clip of a show that you don't offer and it's to let people share with their friends and let new listeners, because that's the thing he doesn't understand. People have to hear something before they're going to start paying the money. And his show at the time wasn't a good representation for his classic stuff. Listening to him talk about Obama for 3 hours wasn't turning anybody on to like Lloyd Bonafide bits. Right. So I explained the whole situation and he said, yeah, go for it. Again, that's his thing. Like I said, if it gets to the point he wants to keep calling me a liar, I'll eventually find out if I can do it legally and I'll post the screenshots. He said, go for it. Then we went back and forth a few other times and I said, hey, this podcast is yours, dude. Like if you want to record promos for the beginning, like you're sick of just hearing me say, hey, go get a backstage pass. You want to do some little shtick or some funny thing. He's like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. I'll send them to you. A couple days later, I emailed him back and said, hey, if you still want to send those promos, go ahead. And he was like, well, what are your ideas? Like he's picking my brain what I should say with the promos. And I would just say, I just said, I don't know. You're the genius here, dude. Just say, hey, you're listening to Phil Hendry. Come check out my, whatever you want. And nothing happened. And a few weeks went past that. And then he mentioned again about the radio show. And I said, no, the radio show stopped. But I think it's a mistake to leave those people hanging. Do you want me to maybe edit the show down to 10 or 20 minutes and then say, do the like go to Phil Hendry's site to get the whole thing? He said, yeah, go for that too. And then I just decided that wasn't worth my time. That would start taking me a lot of time and I didn't think it added much value. So I said, no, you can have access to that feed if you want it and have your people do it, but I'm going to stick with doing the flashback. And again, seemed fine with it. We didn't follow up on him doing promos anymore. I said at that time as well, it'd be pretty cool if you came on, say, once a week, just recorded something or gave your memory of that bit. He's like, yeah, get back to me in a few weeks because that's a good idea. So that just kind of went by the wayside. And far as I know, there was no other contact through there because he sometimes makes it sound like people were contacting me. Like he's kind of implied that I've got all these cease and desist letters and that hasn't been the case. So he either has my address wrong or so far as I know, nothing happened. And then,
have you had any cease and desist orders at all?
Yeah, I'll tell you about the two. I had one last year that I mentioned on my podcast the other night, came in a package that was the size of a small city's phone book. And no exaggeration, it had some little like two paragraph blurb and then basically was hundreds of pages of hundreds of links around the internet of Phil's material saying, take this down. And the funniest part about that letter is I sat and took my time. Out of 300-400 links, whatever it was, not one was on my site, to my site, or something that I have any control over.
Wow.
And then that's the only cease and desist. And then I did get a letter the other day that wasn't really a cease and desist, but it was sort of, here's Phil's demands. And we can get into that later. But as far as this current situation, I heard from him about 2 months ago. And he said, this was like the angry Phil back. It was like, I've been cool with you, motherfucker, but it's not fair of you to be posting my whole show on that effing podcast or something. And I politely wrote back and said, Philly, you've been given some bad information, but my podcast hasn't changed. It's still 20, 25 minutes at the most, maybe a 30 minute here or there, old clips from the show. And he was like, no, someone told me it's like full TRN shows. I'm like, well, no.
So again,
no,
the information from some...
And that's what I think it is. It becomes this thing where... That's how it is. So I emailed him back and I don't think he responded. I think my final email was, hey, you've been misinformed. Here's the link and check it out yourself. And I never heard back. So I took that as a maybe he figured out.
If you look just at your Facebook flashback page, you've got something like 2,500 members of that.
Yep. And they're all pretty passionate people. If you look at
pretty much. Yeah, 98% pissed off with Hendry at the moment.
Yeah. Yep. And if you look at the other little thing, there's a little stat box that shows you like the interactions. And it's 2,500 people who are pretty active with that page. It's not like it's people who hit like and then disappeared. These are people who check it every day, make comments every day. It's an active page. It's pretty amazing.
Are you just refusing to not stop doing the podcast? Or what's your goal in all this?
Yeah, I mean, that's even kind of changed a little bit. Again, so he did that TRN rant, and then I didn't hear back. And then I got a message, and then he did – what was interesting is about a month ago, he started posting these vague references on his blog and his Facebook page about these bootleggers and this and that. And it was funny because everybody flocked to it. Like if he could say, I'm giving you a free episode today, and it gets like four comments. But if he mentions bootleggers, it's 50, 80 comments. It's just this, these people rush to defend me. And a month ago, he didn't mention my name. He didn't say anything about that would really identify me. You could really look at what he said a month ago and think it was somebody else. And then this current situation was about 2 weeks ago. He came on Facebook again, direct message to me, and said, I'm really disappointed to hear that you're charging for this podcast. I've been cool with you. I thought you were doing me a favor. I like this, but that tears it kind of thing. Like, I can't believe you're charging for this podcast. So I write him back right away and I say, Phil, again, I don't know where you're getting your information. Nobody's ever been charged. I don't know where you're getting that. So then he writes back and goes, okay, so you're not charging it, but you have a PayPal link. I said, Phil, that stupid ass PayPal link has been there since 2007 when I started the site. I didn't even really want it at the time, but a bunch of members were saying, hey, you do all this stuff. We're happy to help. Some people helped when I first, because it cost me a lot of money to first switch the forum over then, and that helped out. And there's really nothing's happened from it since. I never promote it. People could go back and listen to 500 episodes. I've done more than 500 podcasts, and I'm never saying, hey, hit me up the donation. So I said, A, the donations are minimal. B, they're nothing to do with the podcast. They were for hosting the forum. And C, if that's an issue, I'll take it down right now. And I went into my systems and deleted all reference to it that minute. Then he wrote back and said, I don't care that you prick about and you're still trying to profit from it. Then I sent him the exact numbers of the amount of the donations. And I said, I'm not doing this for profit, Phil. There's no money being made. So when this started happening, my goal was to say, hey, can I convince Phil in a way that this is value. Everybody else seems to recognize that. And that didn't seem to be working. Anytime I defended it publicly, again, not talking to him. I don't email Phil unless he emails me. I respond to his comments or accusations, but he also kind of implies on his pre-show the other day that this Justin guy's just stalking me. He wants to work with me. Like, I've never been trying to work
for him. He said that, Justin?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, do you personally feel that Phil is actually within his legal rights to ask you to take it down?
I'm not trying to avoid the point because I don't think lawyers could tell you that. These laws all, I mean, there's 70s, 80s, 50s. They're not up to date. There's record companies right now dropping lawsuits because they're scared to death that judges are going to give a judgment that makes this stuff open.
So that'd be the precedent will be set.
There's countries all over the world, including Australia, that I could post a show every day because they decide the show's available for free. People have the technology to time shift it themselves. So if you're just too lazy to time shift it, why can't you go if the show's there free? We haven't got to that point here in the US. So from a legal standpoint, he's well within his right to ask, would they rule in his favor? Who knows? I don't look at this as a legal issue. I look at it as a moral issue. So I feel basically that if Phil says, this is my creation, my thing, and I don't want you doing it, I'm going to respect that. Sure. But he's not going to tell me, and that's why I haven't updated in several days, because I'm showing that. I even realized myself, even some people who support me kind of got the idea that, no, Justin's just going to say F it and go for it. That wasn't my intention. I'm going to honor his request from that standpoint, but he's not going to tell me I can't have a forum. He's not going to tell me I can't do show recaps, and he's not going to tell me that I can't do a Phil Hendry podcast that is fair use if I want to play short clips or I want to comment on the bits or I want to point out all his inconsistencies and hypocrisies over the year. That is fair use, and I'll do it if I want. He's not going to wipe me off the face of the internet.
Well, let me ask the next logical question. You've kind of answered it a little bit when you said it's a moral thing. Why bother? You know, I mean, you know the geezers.
I'm glad you asked me that because that's my favorite question to answer. And I, on the Facebook page, anywhere people ask me that, I answer it, because it's this. A year ago, if this happened, you wouldn't even find that this flashback ever existed. I would have wiped it off the internet. I would have been worse than Phil Hendry tracking people down. I would have been so pissed off to, hey, well, who's this prick not appreciating what I did? It would have been gone. Now it's more about the fans, because as corny as this sounds, when people hear this stuff about losing it, I get emails, I get private messages on Facebook, and I get public messages of people saying, your site, this podcast, it means a lot to me. I enjoy hearing it every day. Don't give up on it. If Phil won't let you do it this way. So I feel like I'm letting people down. The other reason is I've asked everybody this question. Anybody's free to answer this. Can you name another public figure with a following the size of Phil Hendry, national radio show, who has less fan support, has less. He's wiped off every fan page off the face of the internet, mostly by sending C&Ds to 20-year-old kids who were too afraid to understand that they were doing nothing wrong. I've been going through the Internet Archive and following these little links, and there was all kinds of these little GeoCities web pages where people put up their favorite Jay Santos bits or whatever it was, and he had those people shut down with C&Ds. This guy was picking on little 15-year-old kids running GeoCities pages, and I guess I'm admitting something here. I just don't like bullies. I'm not going to go away just because big bad Phil Hendry thinks he's going to send a C&D. I won't do the illegal stuff. These gray areas I'm going to have to back off of. But I'm not shutting down the forum or the recaps or the Facebook page because this guy thinks he controls the internet. That's
good for you. Can I ask you this, Justin? Would you consider moving to the Ukraine? So I was just like,
I've got lots of requests, and that's.
Is there anything else that you wanted to get out there, Justin? And
well, I don't know. I hope this was somewhat interesting to people, but we jumped over there. There's probably 50 things I meant to say or want to say. If you have any questions, I can't think of anything except for the fact, like I said on my podcast the other day, that I'm just kind of in a little limbo area. I'm going to stop playing the bits how I was as a little bit of a good faith measure and to kind of figure this all out. But like I said, I won't just be closing it down or rolling over. And I do want people to know that he is wanting a lot more than just the audio taken down. He wants
he wants
the Facebook page gone. I'm not trying to fight this as a legal thing. I was playing ball. I could probably right now put every piece of material he's ever had, host it in some weird country, put some bogus name together and sell ads or do something. I could probably do it anonymously and have everything out there and make a fortune. He's only coming after me because A, I do it well so people have heard about it, and B, I haven't been shy about putting my name out there. I'm not hiding behind weird names or other countries or whatever it is. So that's why it's about me. That's the only reason. So right. If I go away, he'll be up something else. Like,
so Justin, if this doesn't work out and you do have to stop running your bootleg audio down from Canada into the United States, will you go back to molasses? That's what I want to know.
I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but maybe I'll just pick at random another radio host and try it all again.
Destroy him.
That's what I am. You know, Phil's right about me. I just have some weird fetish for talk show hosts, and I want to destroy them. Yeah, I just want to be close to them in some way, and this is my way to cozy up. So if Phil doesn't appreciate me anymore, I'll go stalk somebody else.
Well, we know what it's like when Phil doesn't appreciate you anymore, and we hope it works out better for you than it did for us.
Yeah.
I was ready to shut this down several times. The other times that I described in the past, I said, hey, Phil, if you're not cool with this, it'll go away. But here's why I think it shouldn't. And he'd say, oh, yeah, cool. Go for it. Like, so I respect what Kung Fu Jesus did. I don't think it'll happen that way with me because, like I said, I just want there still to be a place for fans. And I almost feel like I'm letting Phil win. And if I'm not there to do it, how long will it take somebody else to spring up? Because he shouldn't control the whole conversation. If you want to mention the word Phil Hendry, you shouldn't have to pay $6.95 to go ask some of your other listeners, oh, where's this bit? Or when did this happen? Or did you know what Phil said? Or like, you shouldn't have to go pay for that. Like, I want Phil. What the ironic thing of all this is, I want Phil to be more successful. And what I'm advocating, I think, would make him way more money. And it would be better for all of us because we'd have better access and he'd be happier and all these things. I'm not one of these F money, and I'm not some hippie. I'm from Canada, but I'm not a hippie. Believe me, I want Phil to make piles of money. I believe content should be out there, but I also believe people have the right to charge for it and everything else. Just be sensible about it, and you can't have a situation where nobody can mention your name without
paying. That's ridiculous.
That's silly.
Now, just to bring things in line with our normal podcast, Justin, have you ever shat yourself or vomited over a woman or anything like that?
Yeah, you got a good story where you threw up or maybe poop your pants. We love these. We really do try to. I embarrass myself. I'm happy to.
I'm quickly trying to think if I can think on my feet enough to make something up because I haven't. But
Don't make something up. A story that happened to you as
anything
a kid
involving a vacuum cleaner and a hard hat.
Yeah. Beard trimming. Nothing.
No, I don't trim my beard normally.
You never threw up somewhere. There's a funny story where it was inconvenient.
Chip, let it go. Okay. This has been a serious podcast.
Oh, man.
Nice one, Justin. Thanks a lot for doing this, dude.
Yeah,
thanks, man.
Anytime. Thanks.
We really appreciate it, Justin.
Cleaning this stuff up. And like I said, I'm a big fan of Sweet Feathery Jesus and always was. And anybody who thinks that I just left there to start my own thing to then be the latest Phil Hendry, that wasn't the case.
Well, if you ever want to come back, Justin, and post, you're welcome.
Yeah.
And if you want to argue with Sav as well, that'd be fun.
Yeah. we'll treat you good, dude.
Yeah, we're not as big of assholes as we used to. At least we're trying not to be.
Well, maybe send me a list of all the people over there that hate me, and then I'll go over and pick fights with them and try.
I think there's only one.
Yeah, stop some Sav.
Okay. I'll have a chat with him.
I think you've got a lot more on your side there against us than.
Yeah, well, I don't know who the Sav guy is, but you could also, if you have Skype, let's do a podcast.
Yeah, you do. He started many major posts of Flame Wars on your side.
He's defended SFJ.
He knows who he is.
No, I'm saying I don't know who he is personally, and I'm even having trouble remembering
no
stuff
one does.
Post it. But I'm saying if it's entertaining, he can come on Skype, and I'll have a talk with him and put it on the podcast.
Okay.
We may have to see you on that.
I bet. Who knows? He may be well. We'll see.
Phil won't let me post audio for a while, we should just start having the Flame Wars on the podcast. Every week I'll just have some
That'd
other...
That'd be nice. Yeah.
For a kite fight. That'd be good. Yeah.
Well, our announcement. Anybody on Sweet Feathery Jesus, if you still hate me, let me know. Email me, newphilhendryshow@gmail.com, and I'll have you on the podcast and we'll hash it out in public.
In other words, bring it on, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Oh, taking all comers.
Yo, ho, yo, ho, a pirate's life for me. We pillage, we plunder, we rifle and loot. Drink up, me hearties, yo, ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot. Drink up, me hearties, yo, ho. Yo, ho.
Bring it on, motherfuckers.